This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King, the Master, the Sustainer, the Creator of the seven heavens and the earth. And we send peace and blessings upon His beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses you all and your families, and that He guides us onto what He loves and to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, what I would like from you today is if we can maybe just, and if I can kindly ask you to break away from the formalities. And unfortunately, we've reached a point in time where now we come to talks simply to be seen. Unfortunately, we don't come to listen anymore. We come to watch. We come to be entertained. We come to be in the who's who of the gatherings. And, did you hear who came from overseas? Sheikh Fulan and Maulana Fulan and this person and that person. And it's all about making the next person feel like that they missed out and that you and I are special because we were there. And it's all about, you know, getting everyone's attention that did you see me? So, wallahi, forgive me, but, you know, for once in our lives, how about we actually try sincerely that we sit down for once purely for Allah's sake, not caring about the person to my left, not caring about the person to my right, not caring about the one in front of me and behind me. But how about maybe let's just try for once in our lives to purely really sit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And don't worry about what I'm going to say. And because, you know, unfortunately, sometimes I'll be giving a talk, I'll be giving a khutbah, and people come to me and say, wow, man, your words were so good, they were so great, they were so this, that, and the other, that I wish my mother was here. I wish my auntie was here. I wish my best friend was here. I wish this person and that person was here, because they really needed to hear those words. Almost as if to say that you and I, we're angels, we fell from the heavens, we don't sin, of course, we don't make mistakes, we're the greatest thing in the world since sliced bread, so therefore, you know, but I wish Fulan and Fulan was here, because these people, this khutbah would have been so great for them, man. Everything you spoke about, bro, it's like, you know what, it's like you tapped into my life, man. But God forbid should I ever be the one that's in the wrong. God forbid should I ever be the one that needs to hear the reminder. God forbid should this message ever be for me. Never. I'm the best thing in the world, but everyone around me is, you know. So now, wallahi, my brothers and sisters, when we come to a talk, when we come to a khutbah, when we come to a lesson, we come with adab. We come with ikhlas. We come with sincerity. You know, it's not about the speaker. It's never ever about the speaker. It's about that you coming and sitting in a gathering, this is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I find it very interesting that somewhere along the line, we forgot that we're all slaves of Allah. We forgot that we are all dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't breathe without Allah. You can't blink without Allah. You can't walk without Allah. There's nothing you can do without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we come here because we really truly want guidance from Allah. But it's unfortunate that many of us now, we look at our lifestyles and everyone thinks, brother, I'm not doing anything wrong. Look at me. I'm good, I'm great, I'm this, that, and the other. So you know, deep down in our hearts, we feel like, you know, I really don't need a reminder. What are you going to remind me about, bro? Talk to this person doesn't pray. Talk to that person doesn't wear the hijab. Talk to this person doesn't even do this. Don't come talk to me. No sahabi ever dared to speak like this. No sahabi, no mother of the believer ever dared to speak like this. But today you and I, we have this arrogance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That me, I'm not in need of the reminder, man. We come to talks now purely for the entertainment of it, bro. Did you hear the sheikh? Yeah, he was so cute. And I like the way he makes his jokes. And I like the way he's... This is now, you know, when you look at the da'wah industry now, forgive me, man, wallahi, for me, I feel like it's become like the entertainment industry. It's all about likes and Facebook, and did you see this, and did you see that, and yes, I'm watching, and I'm sharing, and so please, my brothers, wallahi, my sisters, I beg you that now, today, let's just for once, break away from this nonsense, break away from this trash, this rubbish, and maybe just for once, open your heart, and actually ask Allah that, ya Allah, open my heart, ya Allah. What, like, you know, what do you want from me, ya Allah? You see, my brothers and my sisters, the reality is this world that you and I are living in, this world that we're so caught up in, this lifestyle and this image that we're... You have no idea how fake this is. You have no idea how destructive this is. Because the truth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create us for this. And the thing is, you know what? Many of us, we have this massive problem. You know what our problem is? Is we think, well, brother, I'm not doing anything haram. So what's your problem, man? You guys with your beads, you know, it's like you... You know, my brothers and sisters, true deen. And this is unfortunately for us that most of our deen is shallow deen, man. Shallow, you know, I do... My deen is the deen of my mom and my dad and my auntie and my uncle and my friend. And, you know, what else do you want from me, bro? Habibi, Allah doesn't want from you what your mom and your dad does. Allah wants from you what the Prophet did. Allah wants from you what Aisha did. Allah wants from you what Fatima did. Allah doesn't want from you what, you know, Marianne and Fulan and my auntie and my uncle. Habibi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want this from you. Allah wants from you that you be the best. Allah wants to see from you how good can you be. You know, wallahi, I find it interesting. In dunya, we're never satisfied. Never, never, ever are we ever satisfied when it comes to dunya. My car is never good enough. My home is never big enough. My pocket is never ever, nothing is ever good for us when it comes to dunya. But when it comes to deen, we settle for anything. Alhamdulillah, man. Alhamdulillah. I mean, you know, look, I'm not the best, but alhamdulillah, I mean, at least I pray my namaz. Allahu Akbar, for rubbish, you never settle. But for Firdaus al-A'la and for deen and for Allah and His Prophet, whatever, man. Whatever, you know. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. It's amazing. You know, when it comes to dunya, when it comes to... My sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create us for this world. And forgive me, you know, if these words are a little bit harsh. Because wallahi, let me be straight out. I didn't get paid to be here, man. I've paid my own way to come here. No one is paying me. No one is funding me. I'm not gaining anything out of this. I'm not here for likes. I'm not here I'm not here for anything. I'm here purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Nothing else. I've got nothing to gain. I have a wife and 5 kids back home that are missing me and I'm missing them. Right? So really for me, I've got nothing to gain here. But the truth is, you know, wallahi, you know, when are we ever going to be honest to each other? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create us for this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for the akhirah. Very, very, very soon, my brother and my sister. And again, my apologies, whether you like this, it sits well with you, these words are too harsh for you. I don't care, bro. I really don't care. Because you are going to die very soon. In fact, far sooner than what you really think. And my question to you is what have you prepared for your death? What have you prepared? Because guess what? You're going to go on a journey you're not coming back from. You will die. And this is the only guarantee that Allah has given anyone. Allah didn't promise anyone anything. Allah didn't promise even the Prophet. He didn't promise him anything. No victories, no this, that and the other, nothing. The only thing that you and I have been promised is death. And Allah is telling you that, look, I created you for a purpose. I created you to worship me and me alone. And soon you will die. And this little 10, 15, 20, whatever, however long you're going to possibly live on this earth, I've created you. You are here for a reason. You're here for a reason. And I feel like today no one even knows what that reason is. Because my existence on earth is, you know, I'm just trying to do what the next man's trying to do. My friend buys a car, now I gotta buy a car. She cut her hair, now I gotta cut her, you know, now I gotta cut my hair. Did you see her dress? Did you see her this? Did you see his dad? Did you see? What are we, 5 years old? Are we blind? I'm not here for this trash. And maybe, again, maybe these words for you and I, they're a bit harsh. But you know what? Listen, for argument's sake, let's say I'm an extremist. But your prophet, is he an extremist? Is he? That when your prophet says, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abir as-sabil," the prophet, when he says to the sahaba, to the best of generations, he's telling them, listen, you better live in this world like a stranger, like a wayfarer, like a traveler. Why are you telling me this, O Prophet of Allah? Why are you telling me this for? And people told me, oh, brother, can't we have fun? Can't we? This is kindergarten language. I'm not here to tell you about fun and no fun. I'm not here to tell you about what you can and can't do. I'm here to remind myself and remind you that, hey, Allah's put us here for a purpose, bro. We're not here to play games. When the Prophet is telling me that live in this world like a stranger, like a wayfarer, like a traveler, don't get caught up, bro. Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in the glitters and the glamours of this world. Don't get caught up with your little car and your little home and your little dress and your little handbag, you know, and you don't get caught up in this stuff. Ever traveled? I'm sure you have. Ever caught a flight where you had to stop over somewhere? Maybe in Dubai, maybe in Abu Dhabi. Look, you know, sometimes people tell me that, you know, brother, I wish Deen was more contemporary. What are you talking about? Deen is the most contemporary thing you will ever face in your life. Deen never changes. Not 1400 years ago, not today, not even 10,000 years from now. Nothing will ever be more honest, more pure, more sincere, more truthful, and more contemporary than Deen. Deen is truth. But we live a lie. That's why we struggle with Deen. Because lies and truth cannot coincide in one heart. We love false images. We love false claims. So going back to what I'm saying, the Prophet is saying, live in this world like a stranger, like a wayfarer. What does that mean? So like I was saying, ever traveled, ever stopped in Dubai? How long are you in Dubai for? I'm there for an hour, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours. I have a connecting flight. So imagine now you and I, we're traveling, we've stopped over in Dubai, and you and I know very well that, look, in 3 hours we have a connecting flight at gate 58. Right? We know. So because there's some time to spare, we go for a walk. We're in the airport, we're walking around. So as we're walking around, and you know what, you may even laugh, but I want to ask you, by Allah, how stupid and how silly do I sound if while I'm walking around, I said to you, you know what, I really like this airport. I'm thinking about buying a house here. Now, is buying a house halal or haram? Please, that's not my topic. Enough of this halal, haram. That's kindergarten language. I'm asking you, how stupid do I sound if I'm walking in Dubai airport and I got caught up? I said to you, brother, you know what? I really like this place. I'm thinking about opening up a shop here, man. Dude, brother, what shop are you talking about? We're leaving in 3 hours. Yeah, but 3 hours, that's plenty of time. Let me open a shop, I just might make an extra dollar. Or you know what? Hey, you know what? I like the women here. Maybe I should get married. Again, it's not haram. This is our problem. This is the biggest problem that Muslims are facing. Is because, look, brother, I'm not doing anything haram. What's your business, man? Get off my back, will ya? Let me tell you this, and wallahi, this is for anyone out there with an heart, with an atom's weight of understanding. Anyone that wants an atom's weight of depth. You know, Imam Al-Ghazali, he says an amazing statement. And I'm only going to say it once. Either you catch it or you don't. Imam Al-Ghazali, he says, when he was speaking about halal and haram, he says, you know, haram is like poison. Even a small amount of it is enough to kill you. You see, we all know haram. Zina and drinking alcohol and gambling. Oh, no way. I will never do these things. Right? Haram is clear. No. But then he says, halal on the other hand, halal is like medicine. The right dosage will cure you, and too much of it will also kill you. Our problem is we're drowning in halal, not haram. It's halal things that we're drowning in. Yeah, I'm not doing anything haram, but I'm wasting my time, wasting years of my life, wasting money that Allah gave me, wasting it on this, that. Yeah, it's not haram, but that's not your purpose either, man. So now I'm walking around in Dubai airport. I'm thinking, you know, Sheikh, I want to open up a shop. What do you reckon, man? I want to get married. What do you reckon? I want to buy a house here. What do you reckon? You're going to tell me, brother, look how foolish. You said, what are you talking about? You're a stranger. You don't belong here. What do you want to buy a house here for? You're a stranger. You don't belong here. You're departing, my friend. Your connecting flight is at gate 58. You laugh at this example. But how silly are we? How foolish are we? You see, at least in Dubai, I know that I'm leaving in 3 hours. Habibi, you're not even promised the next 3 seconds. You're not promised anything from Allah. I ask you by Allah, do you feel like you're a stranger? Talk to me, man. Be real. Wallahi. You know what? Don't talk to me. For once in your life, wallahi, my sister, I beg you, for once in your life, just be truly honest to yourself. Ask yourself deeply, sincerely, do you feel like a stranger? Look at the way we live, man. Look at the way we live. We want and want and want and want and more and more and bigger and faster and prettier and more lavish and more expensive and more and more and more and more. You don't sound like a stranger, man. You don't sound like someone. In the depths of our hearts, wallahi, I challenge, bring the ulama, bring some of the inner core of your heart. The dream of your dream, the ambition of all of your ambitions is what? To own a nice home. Wow, what a dream, man. To own a nice home. You don't sound like a stranger, man. Look at the decisions that we make in life. We sound like people who have no intentions on moving anywhere, bro. You know, I get parents sometimes who tell me, ah, oh, our kids, our kids, our kids. Wallahi, man. I say, you know what? We're so far from Allah that we're trying to build a world. You know, wallahi, nothing burns me more than when parents tell me, ah, you know, our children are lost. I tell them straight to their face, they're lost because you're lost, Habibi, that's why. They're confused because you're confused. And we're trying to build a world under the pretext of, no, we have good intentions, that I want to provide for my children. Brother, I want to provide for my wife. Brother, I want to, Habibi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never, ever did Allah ever say that you have to provide for your wife or your children. Never did Allah ever say that you have to exhaust yourself in trying to do this, that and the other. In fact, on the contrary, Allah states in the Quran, let every man spend according to what he's been given. I gave you X amount of dollars, then you live off X amount of dollars. I'm the one that provides. Allah never ever asks any one of us to put food on anyone because Ar-Razzaq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the very job that I have, the very responsibility that we have been given to give to our children, to give to our spouses, to give to society, guess what? We're not doing it. Allah put us on this earth to give deen, not dunya, man. Not dunya. No, I've exhausted my whole life on dunya and the hell with deen. Allah says in the Quran, let every man spend according to what I've given him. Hey, don't burden yourself. Don't make things harder. Look at ourselves. Look at our lives. Look how miserable we are. Look how miserable we are. It's all fake. Fake images. Fake smiles. Fake this. Wallahi, just look at the world of social media. Look at the world of social media. You spend money that you didn't earn on things that you don't need, trying to impress people that you don't even know. This is my life. So going back to our children, you know, Habibi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me on this earth to pass on to my children the love of Allah, the love of Quran, the true understanding, the reality of this life. What have we done? Going back to my point, look at our lives. Look at our lives. We're trying to build a world, and this may not sit well with some of us, you know, but deep down we're trying to build a world where we are trying to eliminate Allah from our lives. That's the truth. My home, I have to own it. Why? Because it's a sense of security. Ah, so your security is no longer Allah, is it? No. The smile on my face when I purchase a house. Look at the shirk that's in our hearts. Shirk, this is shirk khafi in our hearts. I have yaqeen. I have a sense of security in my heart that, brother, listen, I paid for this. I have a receipt. I have a piece of paper. It's got my name on it. This is mine. No one can kick me out. Wow, so now your security is a piece of paper. Now your security is not Allah. Well, guess what? Anything and anyone you put before Allah, Allah will destroy you through that very thing. If you love someone more than Allah, be it your wife, your husband, your children, your boss, I swear by Allah, I take qasam by Allah, Allah himself will humiliate you through that very person. You take sense of security. You start looking at your employer as this is my razzaq and not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah himself will disgrace you and humiliate you through your employer. When you take your medicine, it's halal, it's not haram. But if your yaqeen, if your heart is deep down set that it's the medicine that cures me and not Allah, guess what? Allah himself will disgrace you and humiliate you through that medicine. When it comes to my children, and look again, it all falls under the pretext of, brother, hey, I mean well, man. We love our kids. We love our children. You liar. You liar. This is not love. Real love is when you connect people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we love. When it comes to my kids, I want them to go to the best schools. Okay, that's fine. I agree. The best schools, they have to eat the best foods, they have to go to the greatest doctors and the best hospitals, right? Everything has to be the best. My kid cannot make a mistake, he cannot fall down, he can never ever do wrong. You know, they have to be the best. Whoa, step back a notch, man, relax. What are you trying to do, bro? Insurance? Everything is insured. My house is insured. My car is insured. My business is insured. My wage is insured. My life is insured. Why? Because deep down, we want to eliminate Allah. You know, sometimes I say to people, you know, this life you're trying to provide for your child, while it sounds very nice on the outside, I want to ask you something and be honest with me. The life that you intend for your child, just tell me when, just look, point with your finger and tell me, when will your child ever have to ask Allah for anything? Come on. I'm an extremist. You tell me, man. When will you ever ask Allah for anything? Wallahi, my sisters, let me be very, very straight and blunt with you. I don't really do women's talks. It's not a... I just don't do it. I struggle. I hate the fakeness. I hate the whole... You know, because I've been there and I've seen other people speak. And it's all about making them feel good and rosy. And you guys are the mothers and you guys are the softness and you're the roses of our... Please, man, enough of this trash, please. And wallahi, listen. And I'm not saying this because, wallah, I get out of my way to be rude. No. Because I believe deep down in my heart that wallahi, sisters, when you actually give them to them straight... Wallahi, they will do things men can never do in 10 years' time. Because the passion is there, but they need direction, that's all. So, excuse me now, I'm not very eloquent with my speeches, you know. But the truth is, my sister, very soon you're going to die. And you will go down into that hole alone. And everything that's, you know, everything that's preoccupied you and everything that's kept you busy and taken you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your little cute home and your little cute car and your little cute gathering and your little cute iPhone and all this trash, you will go alone. Wallahi, uqsim billah, you will go alone. All these people that you exhausted all your life, my sister, trying to please, not one of them will be there for you, even if they wanted to. You will die alone, my sister. And guess what? When you die, and they put the kafan over you, let me assure you, there won't be no Louis Vuitton and no Gucci and no Burberry then. It will be the cheapest white cloth we can get our hands on, man. So your little handbag and your little shoes and your little matching earrings and your little, and all of these little things that, but that's not haram. Yeah, you're right, it's not haram. But all of these things that kept us busy. All of these things that we wasted and exhausted my life and my money, all trying to make the next person jealous. All along, while deep down in my life, deep down in my heart, I myself was miserable. We love showing off to those people who are less fortunate than us. That's the truth. We don't show off to people that have more than us. No. Look how filthy and corrupted we are. We show off to the people who we know they're less fortunate, man. We thrive off it. We love it when people look at us with envy. Look how fake we are, man. So yeah, your kafan will not be Louis Vuitton, and it won't be Burberry, and it won't be Gucci either. I promise you by Allah, it won't be. And your little mansion that you live in, or at least the mansion you dream, you know, the one that your husband is working like a jackass, trying to pay off, trying to make you happy, and trying to make me happy, and trying to be a man in front of people. Where did simple living ever go? Where? This home that you're so attached to, my brother and my sister, guess what? Your final home, your real home, will be a 6x2 hole in the ground. No LED lights, no underfloor heating. And this nice car that you're driving in, guess what? The last ride you will ever have. You know, I'm not sure how things are here in South Africa. But in Sydney, Australia, the hearse that takes the dead bodies is a 92 model Ford LTD. Same here, huh? Wallahi, just recently, wallahi, I know a brother that used to drive a Rolls Royce, 2016 model Rolls Royce. Guess what was the last car he drove in, man? 92 model Ford LTD. Where the old Sati was washing it while he was getting washed. He was washing it very quickly with a hose and a sponge. And all of these people that you think are your friends on social media, and all of these people that you think are really important, and all of these people that you... Guess what? When you go into that ground alone, no one, and I promise you, no one will be there after 20 minutes. I'm not sure how things are here. Maybe this Indo-Pak community has a bit more deen than us Arabs in Australia. 20 minutes. 20 minutes by Allah. 20 minutes. And it's all fake and staged. We all come to the funeral now, everyone looking sad and concerned. But deep down in our hearts, we're thinking, man, how much longer is this going to be? I hope the imam doesn't take too long. Sheikh, please make it a quick dua, because people need to work. Sheikh, please, Sheikh. Traffic is bad, man. Traffic is bad. All along, you and I spent all of our lives trying to please these people. They lower us down into the ground. They throw the dirt over us. 10, 15 minutes, we'll make a dua. They give salam to one another, and then they walk away. And I swear by Allah, uqsim billah, I've seen it not once, twice, thrice, multiple times I've seen it. You know what the conversation is as people are walking away? Let's go grab something to eat, man. I'm hungry. And then guess what? You and I were there, we're stuck, we're alone. I'm naked, naked. No flashy earrings, no acrylic nails, no nothing. Naked, alone, cold, scared, and now the angels will come and they will question. They will question. Who is your Lord? And don't think that they will come in a nice, beautiful, patting. No. The prophet describes them. Huge in size. Eyes like lightning. Voices like thunder. When the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the one that was most merciful and the best of adab and the best of akhlaq, when he is telling me that these two angels that will come to question you, their eyes will be like lightning and their voices will be like thunder, it doesn't sound like they're going to come and sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to me to put me to sleep, does it? Does it? So they will ask me, who is your Lord? You know, when I was a young boy, this hadith used to scare me. So I remember, I was a young kid, you know. So when I used to hear this, oh, the angels will come and they will question you. And so I used to get scared and I used to think, what are the questions again? And no matter how many times I hear the hadith, I always forget, what are the three questions again? Who is your Lord? What is your religion? And then it's, I think, is it what is your book? Or who is your prophet? So I used to always get so scared, you know. So wallahi, I remember one time I grabbed a piece of paper. I was young, man. I was a young kid. So, you know, I grabbed a piece of paper, you know, a pen and a paper, you know, and I can't remember who I ran to. I think it was my uncle or I'm not sure. And I ran. I said to him, please, 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 can you tell me what are the three questions that the angels are going to ask so that I can write them down because I need to memorize them. Until one day someone said to me, you know what? Memorizing them is not going to do you any good. I said to him, why? He asked me, because dead people don't speak. I said to him, what do you mean? He said to me, dead people don't speak. Your tongue is not going to move. I said, so how will I answer? He said, it's your heart that will speak, not your tongue. He said to me, Habibi, we've been lying with this filthy tongue all of our lives. Allah's not interested in what your tongue has to say on that day. It is your heart that will answer. So when the angels will ask, who is your Lord? The heart doesn't lie, man. What occupied your heart day and night? Was it really Allah or was it dunya? The heart will answer. My Lord is money. My Lord is fame. My Lord is status. My Lord is position. My Lord is power. My Lord is not Allah. So you might think, nah, brother, what are you talking about, man? This is, how did you go from zero to extreme in no time? Come on, Sheikh, what are you trying to say? Habibi, listen, please. I think it's quite clear by now. I don't like beating around the bush. When the Prophet of Allah used to say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ta'isa abd al-dirham, that the one that worships money is miserable and disgraced and destroyed. Have you ever seen anyone in your life ever worship money? No. You see, the Prophet wasn't speaking about putting a dollar coin in front of you and praying to it. But real worship is obedience. Real worship is obedience. So when they ask, who is your Lord? Your heart will answer. Who did you obey in this world? Was it really Allah? Or was it social expectations? Was it really Allah? Or was it my employer? Was it really Allah? Or was it my spouse, my husband, and my wife? Is it really So the heart will speak on that day and it will say, who it obeyed in this world, that is my Rabb. And when they ask you, and who is the man that was sent to you, you know, I find it interesting that we all like to show and express our love. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brother, please, you know, please, when you say his name, you know, I get shivers down my spine. You little kazzab, you liar. Look how fake we are, man. Look how fake we are. If he really sent chills down your spine, then your home would be like his home. Your dress would be like his dress. Your life would be like his life. Your prayer would be like his prayer. But my life and my wife and my home and my, is anything but Rasulullah. So we love throwing these, you know, little words around and making ourselves feel better about ourselves. And you know, I don't have much time, but you know, something that I want to mention, that going back to, and this is for the brothers as well, by no means is this, oh, sit down and have a go to the sisters. La wallah, I believe in my heart that the sisters are the way they are because the men are the way they are. When men become men, trust me, the women will become women. But we're not men anymore. We're a disgrace. We're boys, man. We're lost. That's why the rest are lost. So, you know, sometimes in your heart, you see, the Sahaba, they were in awe of the Prophet. They loved him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everything he did for them was valuable. In fact, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he used to, the famous statement, نَحْنُ قَوْمًا أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say, we are a people whom Allah honored us through Islam. Allah honored us through the Sunnah. Allah honored us through the Quran. Today, the deen is no longer honor for us. So like I said to you, when you choose something other than Allah and His Prophet, what will Allah do? Allah will disgrace you and humiliate you with that very thing that you choose. I don't have much time. Let me get straight to the point that I want to make. You know, some brothers, I have this one da'i, but you know, he's quite well known in Australia. This is a da'i. This is someone that gives da'wah. And so one day we were traveling, we were flying from one, and please, my wallahi, I beg for your undivided attention. So one day we were traveling, I was flying from Sydney, we were flying somewhere else. So this da'i, very well known da'i, I mean, people love him, he speaks about Allah, you know, very. So one, you know, so we were traveling, and we jumped onto the airplane, and I mean, I wear these clothes wherever I go, right? It's not about the clothes, but for me, I wear this wherever I go. So he sat next to me, you know, and I felt like he was uncomfortable. So then after when we did the whole tour and we came back, and he said to me, brother, look, man, you and I, we're quite close here. I said to him, yeah. He said to me, look, you know, I'm all for looking like this and dressing like this. And he said to me, but brother, you know, like when we're traveling and we're mixing with non-Muslims, and maybe, you know, Allahu A'lam, under the banner of wisdom, maybe you shouldn't wear those clothes, man. You know, me, I don't care about clothes. My father wears a suit and a tie, has all his life, and my dad is one of the most honorable men I know. It's not the clothes, and that's the problem. We're so short-sighted, we're so shallow that we look and we judge people based on appearance and clothes. No, no, no. Allah, no, no. It's the depth. So the brother said to me, brother, maybe, like, you know, when we're in airports, to make things easy on us, maybe you should put on like a business shirt and a tie and maybe, you know, some trousers. So I said to him, brother, I can't help but feel like maybe you're ashamed of these clothes. Are you ashamed? Does the hijab make you feel ashamed? Does the niqab, is that a shame for you? And you know what's unfortunate? Muslims hate the niqab more than what non-Muslims do. You know, non-Muslims, they don't know any better, bro. Whatever, I don't know. You cover your face, you cover your head, you cover your feet. I don't care, bro. It's not my religion. But us Muslims, we are vicious against each other, man. Vicious. So I said to him, brother, are you ashamed? He said to me, "No, my brother, please don't misunderstand me. Don't do it." I said to him, look, let's not beat around the bush. My brother, wallahi, if you take honor in anything other than the Prophet did or said or approved of, wallahi, Allah will disgrace you. And let me come straight to my point. I said to him, "Brother, listen, you want me to take this off? That's fine. What do you want me to replace it with? Tell me, what do you want me to replace it with? When the Prophet is no longer your role model, who now becomes your role model? When Aisha and Fatima and Khadija are no longer your role model, guess who becomes your role model, my sister? Guess who? Look at how Allah disgraces and humiliates us. You know, a woman, and you all know exactly who she is, and you all know exactly who I'm talking about, a woman that has no credentials, no haya. You know this word haya? What a word. What a word. This word haya is such a word that there isn't a single word in all of the English dictionary that can be an exact translation. You know why? Because it doesn't exist in their societies, that's why. To even get close to haya, you got to use words like modesty, bashfulness, modesty, chastity, all of these words, and it still doesn't do justice to the word haya. But here comes a woman with no haya, no qualities, probably doesn't even wash herself after she finishes from the toilet, no education, absolutely nothing to offer humanity in any way, shape or form. The only thing she ever did was she slept with her boyfriend in a haram relationship, and like a piece of trash, she recorded it, and then it was supposedly accidentally leaked onto the internet. The world watched her naked doing the filthy of the filthy. Now she's become a star. Now she dictates to the Muslim women what to wear, what is fashionable, what's in and what's not, how your hair should look, how your bottom should look, what shoes you should be wearing, what handbag you should be carrying. Look how Allah disgraces a people. This piece of trash. Now she tells my daughter and my wife and my sister as to what's in and what's not. And guess what? You sisters know it better than anyone. You're never good enough. Today her ass is big, tomorrow her breasts are big. The day after her hair is short, the day after her hair is long. And we're playing catch up. And everyone is trying to look unique. And at the end, guess what? We all look exactly the same. We all look ridiculous. So since we're going to all look the same anyway, let me look like Aisha, not this piece of trash, man. I said to him, "Brother, you tell me. You want me to take these clothes off? Who? Tell me, what do you want me to wear? Look at now the young Muslim men. Huh? Look now. Now it's Dolce and Gabbana. You replaced Rasulullah with two homosexuals in Paris that have no deen, no haya, absolutely nothing to offer. Now these people dictate to me what to wear and what not to wear. Are you serious? Are you normal?" Now in Sydney, grown men wearing short shorts, shaved legs, handbags. We wear handbags now. Have you seen this? Handbags. And that's fine. But look what happens when you replace someone with Rasulullah. Look how Allah disgraces and humiliates a nation, man. Ah, wallahi, forgive me, man. My mind is everywhere. I can't even gather my thoughts. I'm that frustrated. Wallahi, my sisters, my apologies. I'm not here to offend you. I'm not here to upset you. I'm not here to make you feel. Wallahi, I'm here to tell you, like I would wish someone to tell me, wake up to yourself, man. Stop kidding yourself. Stop beating around the bush. Stop trying to please this person and that person. Allah wants you to please Him and Him alone. And Allah will look after all of your affairs. Allah will look after all of your problems. Allah wishes to make things easy. We wish to make things hard. We make things difficult. Allah never. Allah testifies in the Quran, "La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha." Allah promises that I will never burden a soul with anything more than what, with anything more than, you know, that which this body can carry. Allah testifies, "I will never burden you." Guess what? All of our anxiety and all of our depression and all of our problems are self-inflicted. They don't come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you're trying to live a life that's not you, man. You know what I love? I love simplicity. Today, the world doesn't accept simplicity. I love when a man says to me, brother, this is where my boundaries are. I can't do this. This is too much for me, man. Wallahi, my heart melts for these people. That's a real man. A real man is a man that knows, brother, wallahi, this is all I can do. We are weak people. Allah created us weak. Why don't you just admit it? No, I can. I'm capable. And we say these words to our boys. Look how we're corrupting our children. Hey, be a man. The three most dangerous words, my brothers, you can ever say to your son is be a man. The most dangerous words you can ever say to your son is be a man. I don't care. I want you to be who you are. When my son cries, I tell, leave him, let him cry, man. He's emotional right now. Let him get it off his chest. We're human beings. We're not animals, bro. We're not robots. Hey, stop crying. Stop crying. Be a man. No. Obviously, you're upset. Cry. That's fine. The prophet cried, man. There's no shame in that. There's nothing wrong with being scared. I'm scared. I don't want to die. I'm scared. Wallahi, I'm scared. I don't run away from that. That's why I have Allah. That's why we worship Allah. Because we are weak. We are scared. We are afraid. We are in need. And that's why Allah's there. Anyway, my sisters, forgive me, Wallah. My mind is everywhere. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses you all. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He brings us back to deen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He opens our eyes and He opens our hearts. I ask Allah that He puts us in a situation where we only try to please Him and no one and nothing else, man. I ask Allah that He doesn't take our souls until He's pleased with it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He unites us with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that He unites you sisters with His wives in Firdaus al-A'la. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He softens our hearts and that He puts mercy and compassion towards one another. Wa nusalli ala al-habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.